It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Vaccine trial paused. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, October 13th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Johnson & Johnson has temporarily halted its Phase 3 clinical trial of a COVID-19 vaccine after a participant became ill.
2 days of grilling begins today for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Here's some of her opening remarks.
President Trump has tested negative for COVID on consecutive days. Meanwhile, a Nevada man has contracted the virus for a second time.
And as the shopping event known as Amazon Prime begins today, a look at how retailers are planning for the holidays.
They've started earlier than they ever have. They want to try to get us thinking about holiday now or even, you know, last week, because they want to smooth out the sales for the year. They want to keep us out of the stores as much as possible. And everyone's kind of doing that in unison, so you have a lot of competition on deals this week.
Sarah Nassauer at the Wall Street Journal on the remade holiday shopping calendar. Opening statements in the confirmation process for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Democrats unified around a strategy of focusing on the 2010 health care law, arguing that a more conservative Supreme Court with Judge Barrett could place the health care law in jeopardy. Republicans accused Democrats of seeking to overturn the court into an arm of the legislature to achieve policy victories they can't secure in the political process. It was 5 hours before Judge Barrett spoke.
I believe Americans of all backgrounds deserve an independent Supreme Court that interprets our Constitution and laws as they are written. And I believe I can serve my country by playing that role.
Democrats are unhappy that Ms. Barrett could tip the court more conservative since she's being nominated to replace the left-leaning Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I have been nominated to fill Justice Ginsburg's seat, but no one will ever take her place.
Today kicks off 2 days of a lengthy questioning process with 22 senators on the Senate Judiciary Committee getting a chance to grill Ms. Barrett. President Trump has tested negative for COVID-19 on consecutive days now. White House physician Sean Conley issued a memo yesterday clearing Mr. Trump for travel. The president visited Sanford, Florida, outside Orlando for a rally last evening, his first since being treated for the coronavirus.
One thing with me, the nice part, I went through it. Now they say I'm immune. I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience.
Mr. Trump was tested using the Binax Now COVID-19 Ag Card, the rapid response test from Abbott Labs. While claiming himself cured of COVID, Mr. Trump also asserted he is immune from the virus moving forward, though some medical professionals said there's no guarantee of that. And on a related note, a Nevada man became the first published case of getting COVID-19 for a second time. Johnson & Johnson is the latest company to temporarily pause its COVID-19 vaccine clinical trials due to an unexplained illness in a study participant. We learn more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
J&J said that such pauses are normal in big trials, which can include tens of thousands of people. It said the study pause in giving doses of the vaccine candidate was different from a regulatory hold required by health authorities. The current case is a pause. Johnson & Johnson declined to elaborate about the illness due to privacy concerns. It did say that some participants in studies got placebos, and it was not always clear whether a person suffering a serious adverse event in a clinical trial received a placebo or the treatment. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. J&J's move follows a similar pause from AstraZeneca last month. While trials in the UK, Brazil, South Africa, and India have resumed, the U.S. trial for AstraZeneca is still on hold pending a regulatory review. Meanwhile, the U.S. reported fewer than 50,000 new coronavirus cases for the first time in 5 days, while cases remain elevated in several states, especially in the Midwest. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, repeating Trump's Wisconsin victory from 2016. So if you're working from home, are you still dressing for work? While we can all understand not wearing a tie, going to the other extreme, like an old t-shirt, is a little too casual. If you need to upgrade the work-from-home wardrobe, try Cuts Clothing. Technical apparel for the sport of business. GQ called them the only shirt worth wearing. They combine an athletic, tailored-looking fit with their custom-engineered, wrinkle-free, ultra-soft Pika fabric for a new level of fit, fabric, and function. I gotta say, I love wearing my cut shirts. They're tough, they're durable, yet still flexible, willing to move with me. And now, Cuts is finally out with their new polos and hoodies made with their custom Hyperloop French Terry fabric. Try Cuts and save. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Welcome into Tuesday. Wisconsin is Trump country. Demographically speaking, in no other top battleground state do rural and blue-collar white voters play as big a role. And Donald Trump won them 4 years ago by margins not seen there in decades. Craig Gilbert, reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, says the president's path to victory in Wisconsin begins with trying to replicate that feat this November. Craig, what did you look at?
Well, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. I mean, I identify in this story kind of four key battleground regions within the state. One is the city of Milwaukee, which is very Democratic, but did not turn out for Hillary Clinton. So there's a question mark there about 2020. Another is the Republican suburban counties outside Milwaukee, which have this very robust Republican history, but Trump underperformed there in 2016. So there's a question mark there. And then two, you know, more rural suburban regions of the state, the Green Bay media market, which is like ground zero in the ag wars, and it includes Green Bay, but it also includes some exurbs and rural counties, and Trump did really well there, but is not carrying that region in the polling by as big a margin as he did in 2016. It's a manufacturing area. It's also kind of a COVID hotspot right now. And then finally, there's this really interesting area in western Wisconsin, which historically, even though it's quite white and quite rural, has been very purple and very swingy. And again, it swung for Trump in 2020, but in 2016, but it swung back to the Democrats in the midterm. So that's there's a lot of communities. More than half the communities in that part of Wisconsin voted for Obama in 2012 and Trump in 2016.
Oh, wow. All right. So there's no simple way, really, I guess, to explain Wisconsin. If you're a candidate, say the Trump campaign or the Biden campaign, how are you playing it?
Well, one big overarching fact about Wisconsin, if you look at all the top battlegrounds, it is the most sort of white, blue-collar state of any of them, meaning the percentage of voters who are white and don't have a college degree is well over 50%. So that's a huge part of the electorate, and that has been a very strong demographic for Trump. Again, in the polling this year, he's not carrying that segment of voters by the same margins he did in 2016, but a big part of his game plan, I think, especially given what the polls are saying, is to try to turn out a lot of those voters who did not vote in 2016, a lot of those white blue-collar voters who don't always turn out in elections, and he needs more of them to turn out than even turned out 4 years ago.
How does he do that? I guess besides the obvious of just making visits and encouraging it, is there a particular message for these folks?
Well, I think the visits matter in the sense that you know, he's doing more of it than Biden is doing. Now, we don't know how much it matters because people are going to be viewing this through the prism of the pandemic. And that's sort of been, you know, the reason Biden has cited for not coming here more often. But Trump is coming back to the state on Saturday after he had to cancel two big rallies right after his positive COVID test. You know, they're you know, Wisconsin is a big target in the advertising, although Biden has been outspending Trump in Wisconsin and some other battlegrounds, so that's a challenge there. I think he's making arguments, you know, they've pushed Wisconsin's also been a place where you've had these big controversies over race and policing and protests, and that's a message that Republicans are trying to push in terms of pushback on the protests among some segments of the electorate as well.
We're speaking with Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, part of the USA Today Network. He's written a piece about how Wisconsin could be a 2020 election tipping point. How about the dairy industry, Craig, the farming industry? How does it weigh all this?
Hard times. I mean, farmers are a Republican group, and they remain a Republican group, and so they are going to vote, you know, for Trump. We don't know the margins. They've been hit hard. They've suffered through a lot. They've suffered through, you know, kind of fallout from trade wars. They've suffered because of weather. They've suffered because of consolidation in dairy industry. So it's a very embattled sector of the Wisconsin economy. It's a big sector in that part of the state I talked about in western Wisconsin, which has been so swingy. So that will matter. It's not a huge part of the Wisconsin electorate, but there are a lot of small communities in Wisconsin that are dependent and sensitive to the farm economy. And it was the small communities, the small towns and the rural areas that swung the most in Trump's direction in 2016.
Thanks, Craig. Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A late-stage study of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine candidate has been paused while the company investigates whether a study participant's unexplained illness is related to the shot. J&J notes that illnesses, accidents, and other so-called adverse events are an expected part of large clinical studies. The pause is the second to occur among several vaccines that have reached large-scale final tests in the U.S.
Number two.
Supreme Court nominee Amy Barrett Coney is set to face senators' questions today during a second day of confirmation hearings. Yesterday, Barrett says she was shaped by clerking for Antonin Scalia.
His judicial philosophy was straightforward. A judge must apply the law as it is written, not as she wishes it were.
The mood is likely to shift to a more confrontational tone as the appellate court judge is grilled in 30-minute segments by Democrats staunchly opposed to President Trump's nominee.
Number three.
Defiant as ever about the coronavirus, President Trump turned his first campaign rally since contracting COVID-19 into a defense of his handling of the pandemic that has killed some 215,000 Americans. Trump joked that he was healthy enough to plunge into the Florida crowd and give voters a big fat kiss.
It does give you a good feeling when you can beat something and now they say you're immune. I don't know for how long. Some people say for life. Some people say for 4 months.
There was no physical distancing among the thousands in front of Trump, and mask wearing was spotty as he spoke for an hour. Joe Biden campaigned in Ohio, where he criticized President Trump's response to the pandemic.
He told Bob Woodward they didn't want to panic the American public. Americans don't panic. Trump panicked.
Biden held events in Toledo and Cincinnati. Early voting kicked off in Georgia yesterday with hours-long waits at some polling locations amid what election officials said was a record-high turnout. The high turnout was likely helped by the Columbus Day holiday, but similarly long lines had marred the state's primary in June. And now for a selection of a different sort, your favorite Halloween candy. Signals Analytics says the most popular treats are Reese's, Kit Kats, Snickers, and Hershey bars, but Google Trends also indicates surprising support for Twizzlers, Crunch Bars, and Blow Pops.
Seriously? You seriously left out candy corn? Are you kidding me?
Not that again.
This is like your personal crusade to wreck my love of candy corn.
Ugh, yuck.
Twizzlers making it as a joke. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, as Prime Day begins, a look at retailers' holiday strategies. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Amazon Prime Day is today and tomorrow. Meanwhile, retailers want the holiday buying season to hit full speed this month as they brace for a sluggish and unpredictable end to the shopping year. More from Sarah Nassauer, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Sarah, what do we have?
Well, we're in a very unusual year, as we all know. And for retailers, it's been a pretty unprecedented year of strange buying habits and shifting sales online and closures. And that's really affecting how they're planning for the holidays. They've started earlier than they ever have. They want to try to get us thinking about holiday now or even, you know, last week, because they want to smooth out the sales for the year. They don't want to have a big e-commerce crunch. They're anticipating that that's going to happen. They want to keep us out of the stores as much as possible, so put some deals online. And everyone's kind of doing that in unison, so you have a lot of competition on deals this week.
And you mentioned, too, I guess there's going to be more consistent online deals.
Yeah, a lot of them are promising that they are not going to offer sort of, you know, one-day deals in stores. That whole technique, which is a big part of how they do the holidays generally, isn't going to happen this year. They want to say, hey, you can get the same price on this holiday item, you know, all November and December online or for the entire season. They just really want to cut down on kind of the peaks and valleys, especially those that would send people into stores.
And why is that? Is it because the anticipation is we're not going to spend as much this year on the holiday season as we normally would?
It's a little bit of that. It's both coronavirus and literally not wanting to pack stores. You know, most of the big retailers are still metering traffic in stores. There's still someone there up front counting to make sure there's not too many people in at once. So they don't want a big, you know, Black Friday swarm in the door event in the middle of a global pandemic. And they are worried about consumer spending. It's a really unpredictable year. You know, we have tens of millions of people who are on unemployment. And you have an election that is putting people on edge. And a lot of the retailers are worried that in November, you know, a month from now, there might be a lull in spending as people kind of just feel, you know, unstable.
How does it go, Sarah, since they're rushing to import holiday inventory, as you said in the story? Can they do that? Is it working?
They are. I mean, we're seeing the numbers on imports, you know, the container ships, and they're up, you know, higher than they've ever been at this time of year. So the National Retail Federation says that products have been landed, have been brought into the U.S. at this point that normally don't arrive until Halloween, you know, weeks from now. And so they really are front-loading the holiday. They also just want to smooth out the sales. You know, they want to know that we've already spent some money, see if they can get us to spend some money, and that might make up for any weakness, you know, that comes in November, for example.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Nassauer, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com. Chances are you're spending too many hours of your day and fees out of your pocket doing business banking the old-fashioned way. It's 2020. There's got to be a better, more affordable solution. There is. It's Aslo, a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, money transfers, no minimum balance, no fees, and no minimum deposit. And now there's the all-new Aslo Pro Bundle with unlimited envelopes to organize your money, discounted instant transfers, and the ability to set up recurring invoices all for just $10 a month. But because you're listening to this podcast, you can try Aslo Pro free for 14 days at aslo.com/deal. Learn more with a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide, or get started right now with an Aslo Pro free 14-day trial at aslo.com/deal. There's no minimum deposit required. Get started for free at aslo.com/deal. That's AZLO.com. Aslo is owned by BBVA USA, member FDIC. aslo.com/deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Tuesday, October 13. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. J&J pauses its vaccine trial. Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett faces questions from senators beginning today. Apple expected to unveil 4 new editions of the iPhone. Another oops moment for Joe Biden, who again yesterday said he was running for the Senate. Elevated wildfire conditions returned to Northern California midweek. Limited number of fans allowed to attend as the Braves beat the Dodgers in Arlington, Texas. And the 4-year-old making Christmas packages for the needy. That story in about 20 minutes. Medical researchers are constantly learning new information about the coronavirus, leading to improved treatments and practices. At the same time, many questions remain unanswered, such as whether 6 feet is an ideal measurement for social distancing and which masks are most effective. More from Jorge Ortiz, staff writer at USA Today. Jorge, 7 months later, not everything is firm.
Yeah, and it's surging in several states, about 30 of them. And there's a concern about how it's going to combine with the flu season, which is approaching, and also, you know, many more people as the weather gets colder going inside. So all these are pretty big concerns for public health officials. And there's some optimism that because a fair number of people have grown used to wearing masks and taking precautions, washing their hands, those kind of things, that the flu season won't be as bad. But the coronavirus is nowhere near being under control, and it may very well continue to get worse in the next few months.
What about 6 feet? What do we know about 6 feet at this point?
It's a rule of thumb, but it's not 100%. And you see it both indoors and outdoors. The signs, telling people to separate by 6 feet. It's a good general idea, but it's much more effective outdoors. And outdoors is a huge factor in whether the virus gets spread or not, because it gets dispersed much more if there's ventilation. But if you're indoors, it depends on the amount of ventilation. And one of the doctors I spoke with told me, if it's indoors and ventilation's not there, I wouldn't be comfortable within 12 feet. 6 feet, it's a good thing to keep in mind, just the notion of, okay, maintain distance from people, but much more important inside than outside. And outside, you could even be a little closer, particularly if people are wearing masks, and feel pretty safe. But inside, the more distance and particularly the better ventilation, the better. But we don't control ventilation. We can control the distance and wearing the mask.
We're speaking with Jorge Ortiz, staff writer at USA Today. He's written a piece entitled, Is 6 Feet Really a Safe Distance? Should I Go to a Bar? There are still many questions about COVID-19. What about kids going back to school for in-person instruction?
It's a difficult call, and one that the health experts say should be made based partly on the guidance from the local health officials, the amount of virus in the community, the comfort level, the parents, of course, for the majority of the parents, if they can't work in the house, and even if they are working in the house, it's difficult to have the kids who are not getting supervised in school, and, kids typically don't learn as well remotely. Yeah. So there are lots of factors involved. It's completely understandable that parents are very eager to have their kids go to school, but it's still a little iffy as to how safe it is, particularly because a lot of the schools are old, they don't have great ventilation. It's encouraged that the teachers and administrators open the windows and let the air flow in. But again, as it starts getting colder, that's going to be more difficult. One of the doctors I spoke with said his kids are going to school outdoors, and he's in New York, and they'll continue to until it gets too cold. He says either they're going to learn remotely or they're going to be doing mass problems in the snow. But he doesn't want him going to school indoors. Yeah.
Finish up with getting together with family and friends, especially with the holidays on the horizon here.
Right. The smaller the group, the better when you do that. So you don't want to have a huge family reunion of 50 people. And I know this is going to be difficult for Thanksgiving. It's a traditional time for people to gather with relatives. The experts highly encourage those gatherings to be, number one, outdoors, number two, much smaller. And then if you're bringing people from different households, even if they're all relatives, keep them apart from each other. In other words, if you have 4 people from this household, they stay together, they go grab the food together, they sit together, and they maintain, 6 feet at least from the other pots, as they're referred to. So the idea is that you don't mingle the groups and try to keep the groups to 2 or 3 besides the host. So pretty small and preferably outdoors. Difficult to do when you're trying to sit together at a table when you're, you know, when it's Thanksgiving, it's late November. But this is how you can, you know, do those gatherings safer.
Thanks, Jorge. Jorge Ortiz, staff writer at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, who the Lakers team bus left behind after winning their title. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, there are certainly worse careers you can have than being an NBA bench player, especially if you happen to be riding the pine for a team that just won the championship. Every once in a while, though, you're painfully reminded of your status on the team. That happened to Lakers reserve Quinn Cook, who was left behind at the arena in Orlando after the team clinched the title on Sunday night. Nobody seemed to notice that Cook was nowhere to be found on the bus until after Cook commented on an Instagram live video posted by teammate J.R. Smith as the bus was heading back to the hotel. Cook's comments started with, "Tell the bus don't leave me," and quickly turned more frustrated as the bus left, saying, "Make a U-turn." And then he was exasperated, writing, "Gotta walk back after I win a bleeping ring." Luckily for Cook, he would find his way back to the hotel eventually, seen later in pictures partying with his teammates. I mean, luckily they're still in the bubble at that point. It's not like, look, thankfully they didn't, you know, get on the plane and go fly back anyplace, right?
Yeah.
They hadn't, you know, quite left the bubble of Orlando
yet.
Oh,
man, that's tough. That's a tough one. And then I wonder if he were to, say, take an Uber.
Yeah.
You know, back to the hotel, would anybody recognize him?
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't going to leave, say, you know, LeBron James was not going to be left behind at the arena, right? You know, so AD was not going to be left
Davis,
back at the arena. But, but Quinn Cook can easily be left back at the arena.
Quinn Cook, like, he went to Duke. Like, yeah. He's got some nobody.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in the NBA playoffs, yes.
Yes, he played 1 minute in the game the other night.
Right.
And even in the upside down world of 2020, there are some traditions that still persist. Tossing the bouquet at a wedding, for example, can be cause for some fierce competition among guests. One viral video uploaded to Reddit shows this tradition alive and well. And what the user said was the most savage bouquet toss I have ever seen. You see, a bouquet toss that starts, as most do, with the bride's back to a group of presumably unmarried women. As she tosses the flowers, most of the women just reach out with their arms. Things take a turn, however, when one of the women flies in from the back and grabs the bouquet at the same time as another guest, leading to a brief struggle, ultimately leading to the more aggressive woman ending up with the flowers. She quickly starts to celebrate, but the crowd quickly disperses as it seems that nobody is in much mood to celebrate with her. She also points the bouquet at someone off camera. The user says it was her, quote, "very unlucky boyfriend." he's in trouble.
Yeah, she did sort of wave the flowers at somebody.
Yeah,
perhaps was him.
Obviously,
yeah.
she's thinking that this is my time, and we need to to make this happen any way possible. You know, if I have to trample three people to get a bouquet to sort of move the wheels forward, that's what we're gonna do.
I like your description that it was a brief struggle. She snatched the flowers out of the other woman's hand, almost yanking her to the ground.
The best part is that she's, you know, she's kind of short, so she was standing in the back, so we didn't even know she was even there.
Yeah,
all of a sudden
that's right.
She comes flying out of nowhere, you know, almost as if from off camera, like, because you didn't even see her to start with.
The New York Jets would do well to just examine her as a potential defensive back, the way she came out of nowhere to make that catch.
Both of our teams could use that athletic ability, I think.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanksgiving travelers may find airports are free of the usual crowds, but anyone trying to fly for the holiday may still be in for some frustration. The analytics firm OAG says passengers have booked significantly fewer flights with major U.S. airlines for the holiday as compared to last year. Fox News says, and even with smaller crowds, travelers who decide to fly for Thanksgiving could end up needing to change their plans. Unless there's a sudden surge in reservations, OAG predicts that about half of the bookings for November could end up having to be changed, as the airlines will likely cut their schedules. Depending on the airline, those cuts could come with between 3 and 5 weeks' notice. The number of travelers passing through TSA checkpoints dropped to fewer than 100,000 on several days earlier this year, when there had been more than 2 million travelers on the same day a year earlier. While OAG said there have been some small spikes in travel during the summer and around Labor Day, bookings quickly settled, quote, back to the new normal demand levels. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Johnson & Johnson has paused further dosing in all clinical trials of its experimental COVID-19 vaccine because a study volunteer had an unexplained illness. The pause affects a large Phase 3 trial that began in September and aimed to enroll as many as 60,000 people. J&J didn't disclose more information about the illness. This is the second time trials for a COVID-19 vaccine trial have been paused over a safety concern.
Number two.
Judge Amy Coney Barrett vowed to fulfill her duties faithfully and impartially if she's confirmed to the Supreme Court, appearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday for the first of 4 days of confirmation hearings as Republicans move to install her on the high court before November's election.
I believe Americans of all backgrounds deserve an independent Supreme Court that interprets our Constitution and laws as they are written. And I believe I can serve my country by playing that role.
Barrett took no questions on the first day of hearings.
Number three.
In the wake of heat waves, global warming, forest fires, storms, droughts, and a rising number of hurricanes, the UN Weather Agency is warning that the number of people who need international humanitarian help could rise 50% by 2030 compared with the 108 million who needed it worldwide in 2018. The agency says over 11,000 disasters have been attributed to weather, climate, and phenomena like tsunamis over the past 50 years, causing 2 million deaths and racking up $3.6 trillion worth of economic costs. Facebook has announced a ban on content that denies or distorts the Holocaust. The policy marks a reversal on how to handle a disturbing category of posts that CEO Mark Zuckerberg once said should not be blocked on the platform, even though they're false. Facebook says its decision is supported by a well-documented rise in anti-Semitism globally and the alarming level of ignorance about the Holocaust, especially among young people. An extremely rare purple-pink diamond mined in Russia is expected to fetch up to $38 million when it gets auctioned off by Sotheby's next month. The oval gem, which is named after a Russian ballet, The Spirit of the Rose, is the largest of its kind to be offered at auction. The 14.8-carat diamond was cut from the largest pink crystal ever found in Russia.
Wow, that's impressive. Look what I got for you, honey. Great, happy anniversary. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next, the four-year-old looking after the needy.
This year, Michigan businesses have had to adapt, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation was right there alongside them, helping to connect businesses to new resources, meet new partners, and access the additional capital they needed right from the start. If your business needs support to reach its new potential, the MEDC is available to help in any way we can. Contact us today for customized business assistance at michiganbusiness.org/partnership.
Glad you're with us. A four-year-old girl in the UK has launched an initiative to collect Christmas presents for less fortunate kids after she had a dream about some missing out. Fox News says young Pippa Jackson is challenging herself with making 200 care packages for children who otherwise would go without during the holiday season. In each one, she puts a present, some coloring pencils, plus a hat, scarf, and gloves to keep the kids warm. Pippa, who's from Cornwall, England, was spurred on after having a bad dream about children having no presents to open on Christmas morning. Her mom, Katie Jackson, who's helping her with the project, said they're going to be making decorations as well. The decorations will be sold, and the money raised will go towards buying presents for those in need. Ms. Jackson and Pippa are currently spending their evenings putting together the packages, some of the contents, which have been donated to the family. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.